The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
I'd like to return to the Gospel of John in John chapter 10, and we'll pick up here in verse 7, considering the continuation of Jesus Christ, his message here in the aftermath, remember, in the aftermath of the healing of the blind man in John chapter 9, and then the scoffing and the rebuke of the Pharisees in the aftermath of that, and we'll jump in here in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus Christ here introduces himself in yet another of a few of these I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the door of the sheep. I am, and then also, I am the good shepherd. Verse 9 right here, I am the door of the sheep. He already said that earlier. I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, he says right here, if any man enter in, but clearly what is being described here? If any sheep enter in, right? You can tell that from the whole context. If any sheep enter in, there's a deliverance. There's a salvation in entering in discipleship, the door of the sheep, especially pressing through the door of baptism in the kingdom of God, especially. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And what salvation is associated with entering in at the door of the sheep? He shall go in and out and find pasture, right? Not find life, not find becoming a sheep, right? Obviously, as we said before, who are the appropriate people, if you'll let me put it like that, who are allowed into the sheepfold? Clearly the sheep, right? If a goat makes his way into the sheepfold, the shepherd is going to clearly say, you don't belong here, and he's going to get that goat out of the sheepfold. So, if the sheep are in tune with the voice of the shepherd in discipleship and following him, and they enter into that door, that straight door and that narrow door, right? Straight gate and the narrow way. They go in and out and find pasture. You know, if you think about it, sometimes people view that straight gate and that narrow way very, very negatively. And yes, the gate is restrictive. But what happens when you get through the gate? You've got nothing but open pasture, right? You've got nothing but open fields. Yes, the gate is narrow.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the only way, truly, faith in Christ is the only way to truly press into the kingdom. That gate is narrow. But once you enter in, the pastures and the fields are open and free.
Amen.
The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. That's why he came, to lay down his life, that we would have eternal life, but also to set up this kingdom where we could press into that pasture life, if you will, for the sheep, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that's Jesus' desire. That's his will, is for his people to have the abundant pasture of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for who? For the sheep, right? He came to give his life for the sheep, for the elect. For John chapter 1 and verse 21, his people. His people, the sheep, the elect. He that is the hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, careth not for the sheep. I think this is a direct rebuke of these Pharisees and scribes that really didn't have any desire to help or encourage or nourish the sheep at all. They were in it. Now, hireling is in it simply for monetary gain, and that's the only reason that they gave any pretense of religion. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We'll come back to that. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Right? I know there are certain places in the Word of God where Jesus says he loves the world and maybe even lays down his life for the whole world, but we have the rest of the Bible to put that in context of who he's talking about there. But I think Jesus is very clear here. Who did he give his life for? The sheep, right? The sheep who are the children of God, the elect that he chose in Christ before the world began. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and known of mine. Lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's talking about the Gentiles. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that's a lot of the struggle that you find in the early New Testament is those Jews and Gentiles with different backgrounds and different experiences, that they are being unified into one fold.
Right.
And there's a lot of conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. And that comes out and that is addressed in multiple places in many of the epistles in the New Testament. But he says here, there are sheep. You know, remember he told the disciples earlier on in their ministry, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For right now, just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But later on, he says, go to the whole world. Why? Because there are sheep that are not of this fold.
Amen.
That the Lord will bring into his kingdom. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And he laid down his life and he picked it back up 3 days later when he was resurrected from the dead. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And he was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Obviously, they had not been listening for his entire ministry. He'd been telling them fairly plainly. They just did not like the truth of what he continued to consistently say. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So who is it that believes? Who is it that has the capacity to believe on the shepherd? Which is the sheep, right? The sheep who know the voice of the shepherd. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And that's what he says in the next verse here in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto the sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We'll back up to verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then in verse 16, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold and one shepherd. So this consistent teaching that the good shepherd is delivering here through these multiple conversations is that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And backing up really quickly to John chapter 5 and verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. To put it in the John 10 context, is already a sheep, right?
Right.
The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So how are the dead in trespasses and in sin, how are the sheep regenerated? How are they given life? By the voice of the Son of God, and specifically by the voice of the shepherd.
Amen.
Right? By the voice of the shepherd. And if you remember where this is delivered at, this is on the heels of the blind man in John chapter 9 that Jesus heals, and he's going and he's testifying to everyone that he meets about what good things the Lord has done. I once was blind, but now I see. And he's defending him, and he's saying he must have come from God. He must have been a prophet. And he even receives persecution for that, gets cast out of the synagogue. And then Jesus comes to him after that and says, do you believe, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And he says, it's the person who's talking with you. And he says, Lord, I believe. But I want to ask you, this little bitty sheep that we see here, this blind man's sheep here in John chapter 9, when do you think that he heard the voice of the shepherd?
Right.
Okay? Now, I want you to think about a sheep. A sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. But that sheep does not know the name of that shepherd.
No.
It doesn't know his address of where he goes home to live. He doesn't know the name of that shepherd's parents. He doesn't know the name of that shepherd's wife. He knows very little. The sheep knows very minimal details about the shepherd. But I'll tell you what that sheep does know. The shepherd's voice.
Amen.
The shepherd's voice. And we see a description of the type of knowledge that the Lord gives all of his children in the new birth in Hebrews chapter 8. And it describes here a new covenant that the Lord has made with his people. And not according, this is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the land when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the hand out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, of spiritual Israel. I will put my law in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. So every single child of God, every single sheep will know the voice of the shepherd.
Amen.
At regeneration, when God puts his law in their minds and in their hearts. But some people want to take this knowledge, this hearing of the voice and the following of the shepherd to such a degree that it will 100% always encapsulate and include gospel knowledge and belief, and then perfect discipleship, to where if the sheep ever strays at all, then that's evidence that that was never a sheep, that was a goat all along. Well, let's just go ahead. We want to come back to that right there, that thought of knowing the Lord. But I think it's very important that we do read from Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep, that there is such thing as a lost sheep, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just astounding that there are some people in Christianity that want to just deny the fact that there is a such thing as a lost sheep, that there's a such thing as a lost son, a prodigal son. So, John chapter 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Not only does this shepherd have such a love and affection for this one little bitty lost sheep, to, in a natural sense, he would have to either hire someone else or have, not necessarily hireling, don't want to use that term, but have someone help and look at the rest of his sheep while he goes and pursues the one that has gone astray. But that's in a natural sense, in a divine sense of the Lord. He doesn't have to leave the 99 to go and pursue the one. He can take care of the 99 perfectly as he goes and pursues the one. But I want you to notice the intensity with which, the intensity and the joy with which the good shepherd pursues the lost sheep. I mean, it's great for us to think about the fact that God pursues us anyway, right? That a husband should pursue his wife, should be the initiator of that romantic relationship. And it's a great feeling to feel pursued. Amen. Right? In a natural sense. And we have that close connection of the marital relationship with depicted for us in the Song of Solomon. And you see the love and the affection that figuratively there Jesus Christ, as our husband, has for his bride. But there's a desire for the husband to the wife, but also from the shepherd to the sheep to pursue the lost sheep. You know, it seems like the way that some people in Christianity would say, if you don't live to this level of righteousness, if you slip at all, if you fall at all, if you stray at all, then that's evidence that you were a goat all along and you were never a sheep. It's almost like they view Jesus Christ as being the guardian of the sheepfold. And every time someone goes outside of the sheepfold and wanders a little bit farther, he looks at them and he says, you were a goat all along. Or you've turned into a goat, God forbid. That just doesn't make any sense. No. That doesn't make any sense with this picture of Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. You want to know what Jesus sees when he sees that lost sheep going astray? He is getting ready to galvanize all of his forces to bring that one straying child of God back into the fold. Isn't that great to think about, that Jesus loves us so much that he will pursue? He won't just look at us and say, man, that's been an ornery sheep for all these years, and they were always on the edge, and now they finally got too far out there. And now, hey, there is a sense. There is certainly a sense where the Lord allows you to reap what you've sown. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But listen, even in that state, the next picture here is the lost son. The father is always expectantly looking for the return of the Son.
Amen.
And in this picture of the shepherd, he's not just sitting back and waiting for the Son to come to him. The shepherd is going to get the sheep.
Yes.
And, you know, I hope and pray by the providence of the Lord and the grace of the Lord that we don't stray to such a degree and make total shipwreck of our life. We all stray to varying degrees. And there are some people that have strayed so far, at least from my spiritual vantage point, that it's just gut-wrenching to see who I don't have any knowledge on the Lamb's Book of Life, but it sure seems to me they've exhibited a lot of fruit in times past, and it sure seems to me that they're wayward. They're not necessarily just a false professor this whole time.
Right.
And the Lord certainly will give you enough license to learn the lessons you need. You know, that father in the next picture there, the lost son who goes and says, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me all my inheritance." And he goes and wastes it in riotous living and harlots and all that foolishness of the world. You know, the father gave the son enough liberty to go and do at that moment what he desired to do. Right? Now, there could have been a sense where he could have absolutely, totally restricted him from ever leaving that land, from giving him anything to waste his money on. He could, the father could have prevented it.
Right.
But you know what? There is a lesson that clearly that son needed to learn. And the sad reality is the only way he was going to learn that lesson was down in the pig pen.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? He came back. He came back with a broken and a tender and a repentant heart. And he was a whole lot better son, I believe, after that point than if he would have stayed at the house annoyed and brassy the whole time because my dad didn't give me what I asked for. And the father gave him enough liberty. And what I mean by that is God does not control all of our actions. He does not predestinate everything we do. And he gives the sheep enough liberty to act like sheep. But he is still the sovereign shepherd.
Amen.
At the same time. Okay? So, the shepherd leaves the 99 to go pursue. And I just love that picture of God, we just hope and pray by the providence of the Lord. And if anybody thinks that they're above this, let him that thinks he standeth take heed lest he fall. I hope and pray by the providence of God we don't make total shipwreck of our life.
Amen.
And someone would look at me and say, "That is a horrible lost sheep that's down in the pig pen." But I'll tell you, we all get lost to varying degrees.
Amen.
Right. And you know what? I hope by the providence of the Lord I never get down in that horrible pig pen like the prodigal son. But I know when I stray, it's so comforting to me to view Jesus Christ as not this authoritative, almighty God, King of the universe on his great white throne that's ready to strike. And he has that power that's ready to strike us down with lightning. Boy, it just does my heart good when we fail the Lord every single day. And we all are lost to varying degrees every single day. To be reminded that he not just loves us, but he is actively pursuing us to bring us back into fellowship. Not looking at us and saying, "I knew they were a goat all along." No, he sees that lost sheep straying, and he is actively pursuing us to bring us back into the fold. And then, I love this picture again, not just of him pursuing us, but look how excited Jesus is when one of his sheep finally come back, right? When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors and saith unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep," right? You know, this whole idea that people are just constantly fluctuating between sheep and goats. Yeah. You know, there's sheep one day, and if they don't act right, maybe they'll die a goat, or maybe they're a goat for a period of time. They got to.
No.
That doesn't make any sense. Let's go all the way back to Genesis 1. Animals were made and they produced after their kind.
Amen.
You know, animals aren't constantly flip-flopping between sheep and goats, right? A sheep is a sheep is a sheep. A goat is a goat is a goat, right? But look how excited God is.
Yes.
Look how excited God is when one of his sheep come back into the fold. And I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And I'll tell you, if heaven gets that happy over the lost sheep, we should be just as happy when those lost sheep come home. Because it's so easy. And, you know, I've thought through a couple situations, and I just feel like, I hope the Holy Spirit would hit me in those moments, but there's some situations that I just know that I would harbor some bitterness if people decided to come back to the fold. I hope the Holy Spirit would crush that spirit of bitterness if they ever came back.
Amen.
But our excitement, not just, we get excited when people join the church, no doubt about it, right? But this is not necessarily. Yes, there are people that stray and they finally come into the church. But I think to a large degree, this is talking about faithful sheep that stray and then return. And, you know, it's very easy. It's scary how much, it's really scary to be honest with ourselves, how much Pharisee we really have deep down in us.
That's right.
And it's hard for us to not lift that chin and that brow a little bit and be like the son who didn't leave the father's house and be like, that's right, I was here the whole time. You forsook daddy. I was here the whole time in faith. It's hard to quench that spirit of pride and pharisaical nature that is deeply rooted in the flesh that all of us have.
Amen.
And there's a part of us that doesn't always want to fully rejoice in the manner that we ought to when we see lost sheep coming home. We want to say, I told you so. And we also have that second son attitude that says, I'm the one that never left the Father's house. I'm the one. And may the Spirit of the Lord just crush that spirit of pride.
Amen.
And pharisaical attitude that God forbid, that we are anything other than just as elated as Jesus and the angels in heaven when the lost sheep come back into the fold. Now, I want to focus a little bit more on that knowing of the shepherd's voice. Back in John chapter 10. Again, backing up to John chapter 9, I just love this picture of this little bitty sheep who's following the shepherd. But you know what? He doesn't even really have an understanding of who the shepherd is, but yet he still knows the shepherd's voice.
Yeah.
He still knows the shepherd's voice. And people say, how could Primitive Baptists uphold the scriptural doctrine, particularly from Revelation, that God has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. That's what the Bible says. Out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. And it is evident that there are many people, many civilizations, many nationalities that are long since gone that had no exposure to the Word of God,
right,
had no knowledge of the name of Jesus Christ. But there were little bitty sheep in every single one of those nations that had something inside of them, just like Job had.
Amen.
That he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he had enough understanding, because the law that was written in his heart, how is it possible that man could be just with God? I see my sinfulness. How could I be viewed as just before a holy God. He had never read the epistle of Romans that tells us about how we are justified and then how we believe that to experience justification by faith. He had a little bit of a sliver of justification by faith, but it wasn't the fullness of the knowledge of justification by faith that we have because of the New Testament scriptures that we have. But how many children of God in these other nations that have never known the name of Jehovah God, that have never known the name of Jesus Christ, but they look out, Psalm chapter 19, they look at the heavens and they say, there's something about the majesty of these heavens that resonates inside of me.
Yes.
Why? Because the God who created those heavens lives inside of them, right? And they have a conviction. You know, everyone else is going and being disrespectful to their wives and getting drunk all the time. For some reason, they don't do that because they feel a conviction that other people don't have. And if you ask that person, just like this blind man, if you ask them, do you know who the Son of God is? They would say, I don't know. But I guarantee you, those are sheep that have heard the voice of the shepherd. Sheep that have heard the voice of the... And there is no reason to think that the sheep will be able to perfectly articulate every single attribute, every single piece of information about the shepherd. Right? I mean, if there was a shepherd, to put it another way, if there was a shepherd out there in the hills of Jerusalem, named David. Do you think that those sheep that knew David's voice, do you think that those sheep knew that his name was David and he was the youngest of the sons of Jesse? No, they didn't know that, but they distinctly knew the voice of the shepherd, the voice of David, and they knew his voice from anybody else's voice. And if there was another voice that didn't resonate with what they knew to run away from that. And that is hardwired and ingrained in every single sheep. Why? Because the shepherd lives in their soul.
Yes.
Right? That's why they're able to recognize that, is because the shepherd resides in their soul. Now, I think sometimes in our old Baptist foolishness to jump into the other ditch, we de-emphasize. I believe this is talking about regeneration when it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They will follow him in regeneration. And not every child of God is going to follow him perfectly in discipleship, but they will follow him to the knowledge, to the degree of the knowledge that they have available to them.
Yeah.
So a sheep following the Lord in Jericho before the Israelites came in looked a whole lot different than a sheep following the Lord in the congregation of Israel who had the law,
right?
The pathway of discipleship, those two sheep looked considerably different. But listen, every child of God will follow the Lord. They're not going to walk in perfect discipleship all the time. But I feel like we have almost de-emphasized. I do believe this is a regeneration verse primarily. But I feel like we have de-emphasized that the sheep will primarily follow the shepherd. Now, are they going to follow him in gospel obedience and be baptized all the time? The gospel will never spread that vastly, despite the shortcomings of those of us in the kingdom of God that have been called to do that, and you've all been called to do that, to spread the gospel, but not every child of God is going to have the perfect, not every child of God is going to know the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I'll tell you, every child of God is going to be just like Job, and they know deep down in their soul, they've got a Redeemer, and they know one of these days they're going to see Him with their own two eyes. I'm going to see Him with my own eyes, because I have a Redeemer. If you ask them what that Redeemer's name was, they'd say, I don't have a clue. But there's something inside of me that knows it needs to be redeemed, that yearns for heaven, that has faith in. They might not know the name of Jesus, but they've got faith in the shepherd.
Yeah.
And they walk in the faith, in the knowledge of the light that they have at that moment. But every single sheep will know the voice of the shepherd and will follow the shepherd. But again, that following of the shepherd looks a lot different in quite a few different contexts, especially those that have never been in an evangelized church setting.
Amen.
I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. And then when we inevitably stray, the shepherd loves us so much that he actively pursues our repentance. Right? He doesn't just say repent. No, he is actively pursuing your repentance.
Amen.
And when you do repent, the good shepherd and all the angels of heaven rejoice. And it is our blessed privilege to rejoice along with them when we see the lost sheep coming back into the fold.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.